In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Today I would like to speak to you about impurity. The primary reason to avoid impurity is that it is against the law of God. Our sanctification consists in conforming to the law of God. And it is clear from God's law that any misuse of our faculties in this way, that is, impurity, is contrary to the law of God. Our society actually extols impurity. And if you work in the world, you know that it is the common talk of people in offices and other worldly places that they talk about the impure escapades of their life as if it were something to be proud of. The world has not been so impure since the time of the pagans. Since the time of the pagans who surrounded the Israelites and the Romans. The Romans used to perform impure actions in front of the idols of their gods in the hopes of pleasing their gods, who themselves were impure in their mythology. We are getting to that point where impurity is seen as such a great virtue. But we Catholics, whenever we have temptations toward impurity, must say what Joseph said in Egypt when asked by the wife of his master for fornication. He said, "How can I do this wicked thing and sin, my God?" The second reason for avoiding impurity is that it desecrates the body of man and robs him of his honor and his good name. St. Paul said, "It is the will of God that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, and not in the passion of lust." Our bodies are the temples of God, and they are made the temples of God by baptism, in which is infused sanctifying grace. If an impure action were committed in a church, the church would have to be reconciled, that is, re-blessed, re-consecrated, before it could be used for Mass. So our bodies are temples of God, and there is a true desecration of these temples when we commit sins of impurity. St. Paul said, "Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ?" And in another place he says, "But if anyone violate the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which you are." Impurity soils our good name. And I'll give you an example. For as much as impurity is extolled in this society, what is the opinion of those, concerning those, who practice impurity for a living?
They are even in our own society considered the lowest of the low. And lose all of their worth even in the sight of wicked men. Sacred Scripture says, every woman that is a harlot shall be trodden upon as dung in the way. And I would especially tell young girls to heed that they not become harlots for money, nor for the sake of pleasing others. The morals of young girls today are sometimes so bad that they cannot be distinguished from women of the street. The third reason for avoiding impurity is that Catholics know the law of God far better than non-Catholics. Non-Catholics have their guilt lessened to a certain extent due to ignorance. They are raised in impurity. Their parents do not have the same devotion to purity that Catholic parents do, at least in most cases. Non-Catholics permit divorce and remarriage. We Catholics, however, know plainly what the laws of purity are. We are taught them in our catechisms. We hear them from the pulpit. There is no excuse why a Catholic should be impure, except for the fact of a certain malicious contempt for the law of God. Therefore, when the Catholic sins, he is more guilty when he sins. And God takes into account this greater guilt for Judgment Day. And the fourth reason to avoid impurity is because of the punishment that awaits the lack of chastity. First of all, there is punishment in this life. The earth was flooded on account of impurity. God simply became disgusted with the human race and did away with it, except for a few good people. Sodom and Gomorrah equally were done away with because of sins of impurity. God killed 24,000 of the Israelites in Shittim due to the impurity that they were committing with the Moabites. And that is not the same incident as the slaying of the 23,000 due to idolatry. This is a different incident in the Old Testament, and it was due to impurity. We must understand that we are here to please God, and when we cease pleasing God, we become useless things to Him and a burden on the universe that He has created. And it is entirely within His justice simply to do away with us. Sacred Scripture says, "He that joineth himself to harlots will be wicked. Rottenness and worms shall inherit him, and he shall be lifted up for a greater example, and his soul shall be taken away out of the number," meaning the number of those who will go to heaven. And St. John Chrysostom says this about adulterers, although it may be applied to anyone who has a habit of impurity. "The adulterer, though he be accused by no one, never ceases interiorly to accuse himself. The lust lasts but a short time, but the pain of remorse remains, with fear and trembling, suspicion and anguish. He lives like Cain, trembling and moaning upon earth, and without anybody seeing it, he carries a fire in his heart." Impurity also dulls the intellect to spiritual things. The primary reason why priests and religious do not marry is in order to keep their minds more easily on the things of God. For one of the greatest hindrances to that is even the use of matrimony. And even more so, the dissipation in impurity. That is why it is counseled to even to married couples to practice perfect chastity during Lent and during Advent and before receiving Holy Communion, in order that they keep their minds on the things of God. But if a person is steeped in dissipated impurity, if he is leading a life of impurity, either with himself or with others, he is hardened to spiritual things. He is acting like an animal. And even the threats of eternal damnation, or even the mercy of the Sacred Heart, even the picture of our Lord suffering on the cross, cannot move his heart of stone. It has a terrible effect. It causes a blindness to the realities of heaven and of hell, and makes the man live only for this life. And we also know from the teaching of the Church and from St. Paul that impurity is punished by hell. Sins of impurity are in themselves mortal sins. Impurity is always serious matter. And yes, occasionally you may have a venial sin of impurity because of lack of full consent, or perhaps sinful curiosity, or just a sinful glance. Those are usually venial sins. But in themselves, a sin of impurity is a mortal sin. Our Blessed Lady said that more people go to hell for sins of impurity than for any other reason. She said that at Fatima. She also said at Fatima that souls fall to hell like leaves from a tree. And when we look at the impurity of our age, that is easily believable. When we think of those soldiers who will be shot today, and what kind of lives they were leading up to this time. Many of them will go to hell like leaves from a tree because of impurity. Not because they hate God, but because of impurity they will go to hell. St. Paul said, "Know and be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate shall possess the kingdom of God." And I must give a warning to parents that you have the obligation of protecting your children from impurity. Our Blessed Lady also said at Fatima that children will lose their innocence. And how that is true. They are initiated to the things of filth at the earliest ages. And there are three main sources of this initiation to filth: television, bad friends, and public schools. I have warned you many times about the evils of television, that it is a sewer pipe that comes into your home. Bad friends also heavily influence your children. And by bad friends, I mean friends on the block. People who come from public schools. People who watch TV and see things that are absolutely disgusting. Or children who are permitted to watch X-rated films that their parents watch. Perhaps they watch them with their parents. This is what goes on in the average home. People rent these movies all the time and show filthy movies or R-rated movies. And their children see them. They live in impurity. And they come, together with all of the dirt that they learn in their own schools, they come and corrupt your children. And your children, who are otherwise protected from these things, in one bad conversation are corrupted. Even if your children never see anyone else on the block, even if they are friendless, let them go to heaven friendless, then go to hell with all of their friends. People often say, "Oh, my child won't have any friends. He won't have any friends." Well, so what? Our Lord said, "Pluck your eye out to go to heaven, or cut your hand off to go to heaven." Don't worry about friends and things of this world. Worry about God. Worry about heaven. Worry about getting there. And if their friends are devils to them, if they lead them into sin, well, then cut them off. It's as simple as that. That's the end of those friends. You must have the wisdom to order your life according to God and heaven, and not according to the standards of this world. That is wisdom. And the third is public schools, where the children are positively indoctrinated in dirt, where they are told dirty things and they see slides and movies about dirty things. And they are told things that perhaps you don't even know. And they listen to the conversation of other children who are equally steeped in filth, and they become one of them. I honestly do not see how parents can escape mortal sin if they let their children watch TV on an unregulated basis without absolutely strict supervision. For the few little things that are on TV that you can watch. If they simply let their children watch TV or play with the friends on the block, in most cases, and public schools, I don't see how parents can avoid mortal sin and the very terrible mortal sin of scandalizing the young if they do any of those things. Remember what our Lord said about those who scandalize children, that it would be better that a millstone be tied around their necks and thrown into the sea than to scandalize one of these little ones. And parents, whose function it is to protect and to bring them to heaven, when they let them watch TV and have bad friends and send them to public schools, to me is the worst form of scandal. He whose function it is to protect actually corrupts by letting their children do these things. I do not see how a parent could be excused from mortal sin on those accounts. So let us resolve to rid ourselves of any habits of impurity or any occasions of sin for ourselves or for our children during this season of Lent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.